Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Harvey! Let's go!
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago. Middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Hey, Clark, put some pants on! But don't be messing up my interview with Dion. I love that Clark was like, hey, someone from Chicago. Let me just jump on. I like, he's very familiar. He doesn't talk, right? Is that a mascot thing? Mascots don't talk?
I don't think you're supposed to. It's like Teller.
Have we ever heard Teller speak?
I don't think so.
I wonder if he's like, if he actively enjoys being the guy that isn't talking at all and is just expressing himself through magic in his face. Or if he has, like, things to say.
The check's clear.
Oh, the check's definitely clear. But what if this whole time Teller had, like, life advice for us that he couldn't share because that was the bit? Like, he had learned all this stuff from traveling the world with Penn, but he couldn't share it because he's not... Like, does he have a book out or anything? Does he even write words?
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Bass drop.
Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Our buddy Cole Wright will be on the show at 1. We will talk about what happens next for your Chicago Cubs with him. Maybe throw in a little bit of Bears conversation, too. I'm not quite there yet with the Bears. I did see video of Eddie Goldman pushing a 1,000-pound sled, and he had a Bears T-shirt on. So that made me feel a little bit better about things. We'll see if he shows up to training camp. But it sure looks like a guy who is at least thinking about showing up to Bears training camp. Steve Stone is going to join us momentarily, which is why I need to take a break. We are going to talk White Sox baseball with him next here on The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station. Color analyst for the White Sox, Steve Stone.
Try it with your bare hand. It's a lot easier that way.
Joins Lawrence Holmes.
Steve Stone is a Cy Young Award winner. He is a fantastic color analyst for your Chicago White Sox, and he is a Score baseball expert.
As Steve was saying, try it with your bare hand. It's a lot easier that way. Steve actually poked his bare hand in the booth and has cut himself open.
Steve Stone talks with Lawrence Holmes.
I'm about to pass out.
Yeah.
Loss of blood.
Social media god Steve Stone and Lawrence Holmes right now on The Score.
That's right. It is Steve Stone's birthday. Stoney joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the White Sox color analyst. He is also the birthday boy. He is Steve Stone. Happy birthday, Stoney.
Thank you, Lawrence. Having a day.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Everything is just terrific. It's a beautiful day, and baseball was kind enough. You know, when you get over 50 years in a game, baseball decides they're not going to schedule any games on your birthday, which allows you to just enjoy the day and not
Stoney, hang on a second. There's something going on with your phone. See, people are tapping Steve Stone's phone, making it so that he can't have conversations with us on his birthday. That ain't right. By the way, one of the things that I plan on talking with Stoney about today, you know, can I just say that again? It always makes me laugh that we got to the place where the technology on our phones for everything else is so good, except for the calling part.
Like, clearly, when we landed on the moon, the video and the audio was crisp.
Yeah, hey, like, Steve, literally, we just sent some people into space, like, last weekend, right? Isn't Richard Branson, like, taking just whoever wants to go into space in space, but for some reason, phones still don't work. It's pretty amazing. All right, we'll try again. Hi, Stoney.
Hello, Lawrence. I hope things are better now.
Yeah, they are a little bit better. I don't know what's going on, but we talk about phones all the time. It's problematic for sure, but we definitely want to celebrate your birthday, and we do thank MLB for making it so that there was no game for you to have to call on your birthday.
Yeah, pretty nice plan, so everything is going well. But I honestly can't wait to get this second half underway. And it's really not the second half. I mean, look, the Sox have played 89 games. And so there's not 89 games left, fortunately. There's far less than that. So we're pretty excited about what lies ahead for the Sox and how they're actually going to prepare for the second half of the season to win the division and then obviously worry about the playoffs and what the team is going to look like when we get there.
I remember when we were talking about Tony La Russa at the beginning of the season, on the baseball scale, the 20 to 80 scale, I think you said he was about a 40 manager early on. Where would you say that number is now, and what improvements have you seen from him?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that come into play, and I really enjoy, I tweeted a very pro Tony La Russa tweet yesterday just to see exactly what would happen and get reaction from the people in the Twitter sphere. And I said to them that I will not make any comments, any responses to any of the tweets. And so I found, obviously, some people liked him, thought he did a good job. The other people didn't like him for a lot of different reasons. And most of the reasons that the people were anti-Tony were things that they didn't really understand. The whole Mercedes scenario with him, what they didn't understand was that Tony was most upset about the fact that Yermin disregarded the sign. He got a 3-0 take sign. And in fact, Joe McEwing, and I think Tony got up on a top step, might have actually taken a step out of the dugout to just tell him, don't swing. He swung anyway. So it wasn't that, it wasn't anything but, you know what, I gave you the take sign. It's not going to hurt us now in a 17 to whatever the game was, but it might hurt us in a 4-3 game if you disregard signs. I think he was very upset about that. And then everybody blamed the descending Yermin production on that one situation. What they didn't take into consideration, because they really don't understand exactly how baseball works, is that they figured out Yermin. By they, I mean pitchers, scouts. They figured out Yermin. As he stopped hitting, he started expanding his strike zone. He started swinging at everything as he got more anxious over the fact that he wasn't producing quite as well as he could have been producing at that point. And then it began to snowball straight down the hill. And so as good as he was, it was very predictable to those of us who have been around this game for more than 10 minutes that eventually the league would figure him out. He would have to make the adjustment back to the league, or that batting average is going to plummet. It did. He spent 10 years in the minor leagues, not because he was particularly adaptable. It just that they figured out a way to pitch him, and he never figured out a way to get them back. And so when it came time, they had to make a move. He went down. Everybody wants to blame that on Tony, which is literally ridiculous. It's just the way baseball is. If you're not a top-quality hitter, when the league makes an adjustment to you, you're going to have to make an adjustment back. The real good guys do, and the other guys, well, they don't spend a great deal of time in the major leagues. But I think Tony at this point has gotten to the point where he really understands his team. I don't think he knew these guys at the beginning. You can look at video on them. You can manage them in spring training. You can manage them earlier in the year, but you don't really know. For instance, Fry comes up. Tony has never seen him pitch in a game before. He's talked to everybody about him. Bear in mind, you know, Ethan Katz is also a first-year pitching coach, and he can talk to people about Fry and talk to people about, you know, exactly what he does. So Tony pitches him one inning, and he pitches terrific. It was a great inning. And he decides to try to find out, can I use him that second inning? And the second inning, everything deteriorated. So that's part of the learning process, and I think that's what happened with Tony early. He had to know about these guys. And more than that, again, people don't understand. If you've been through this before, what you really have to know and what you want guys to prove to you who haven't played for you, you want to know from middle of August through the end of the season and into the playoffs, when you're really in the trenches, when you're in the tough games, when you're at the critical stages of the season, you want to know which guys are going to fold the tent and which guys are going to step up and really give you the same effort they gave you in April and May. Will they be top of the line producing members of a winning baseball team? Because, Lawrence, in basketball, you see it all the time. You see a guy who can average 20 points a game for a team that's not going to make the playoffs and not going to go deep in the playoffs when they make it. You put this same guy on a winning team where he's got to perform at crunch time, the guy folds the tent. You have to know that as a manager. And you either play around this guy or you send this guy to minor leagues. You do whatever you have to do. But this is part of getting to know you. Now Tony is getting to know these guys. And when he does, when he really understands which players he wants to go to war with at crunch time, there's not a whole lot of guys around better than him. There's a few managers who are wonderful. I think Bob Melvin is state of the art in Oakland. I think he's terrific. I would like to tell you that Kevin Cash is really good. I think sometimes in game he is good. But Kevin Cash is more programmed than most managers around at Tampa Bay because he never makes out a lineup. It comes from the front office. And just about everything that happens is programmed from the front office. We saw Blake Snell taken out of the World Series because he had reached the limit that the front office thought was non-productive. There was no gut feeling, no eyesight, no, boy, he's got really good stuff today. And maybe the average is 300 third time through the order, but that means sometimes it's 400 and sometimes they're hitting 200 third time through. And today with the stuff he has, they're hitting 200. So put him in. That didn't come into play. What came into play was what came down from the front office, and that was that. They might have lost a World Series because of that. Tony is not that kind of guy. And, you know, I think there's certain managers who do a great job of it. And I think that coming back after a 10-year hiatus, I think what he's done to this point is pretty strong. Plus, he's got an 8-game lead. The guys in the locker room, if you talk to them, they understand that Tony's a guy they want to call the shots when things get tough.
What's happened with Aloy has been pretty remarkable. His recovery has been remarkable. And now he's in AAA Charlotte. He says that he can be back by the end of the month, and it would seem like everything is pointing in that direction. What's fair to expect from Aloy when he returns?
Well, because he is one of the really great pure hitters in baseball, I think if he comes back with his timing, and I believe, I said it before, I believe if he can cover the fastball, then the rest falls into place because he's a really fine hitter. I think, you know, coming back, maybe taking a little time, maybe, you know, the first couple of games doing real well, then all of a sudden get a little bit of a fall off. But I look for big things. I mean, if he comes back and he's healthy, there's no reason to assume that this guy who has hit every place he's ever gone is not going to hit now. I think if he proves he's entirely healthy, I think he's going to hit. I think they are concerned maybe about leg strength at this point. So I think that and the fact that most of his injuries have come defensively. They've come when he played the field. I know he did play the outfield at Charlotte the other day. I think that, you know, or played the outfield wherever he was in the minor leagues. Maybe Winston-Salem, I think he did play an outfield position once or twice. I think he's going to do the majority of what he does as a designated hitter in the major leagues. I assume he'd get the occasional play in left field. But it's with the stipulation they tell him that don't dive, don't jump into the seats, don't jump over the fence, don't run into your center fielder, whoever that might be. Just catch the balls you can catch, let the other ones drop, and see if you can, if you do let in one, just get us back two with your bat.
I've been thinking of a way to ask you this, and I'll just have to fumble through it. When I look at all the guys that have made an impact on this team, guys that they've brought in, free agents, finding the waiver wire, getting Goodwin, getting Hamilton, whoever it is that they're bringing in, what is it about a team that has a chance to win that maybe gets the most out of players like that?
Well, I think it's a question of sometimes it's just pure luck. Sometimes it's destiny. Sometimes it seems to be happenstance. I think, you know, sometimes you bring guys into your organization and they get the call up and they come up and they just don't respond. They don't hit. And maybe you get three or four of them that get the call up and they either get hurt or they just don't produce. And I think that happens some years. But there's other years, and it usually happens with teams that are destined to go far. And that is, you call up a guy, you bring in Brian Goodwin, and all of a sudden, I mean, he's hitting in the middle of your order. You know, in the absence of Luis Robert, in the absence of Aloy.
He's been a four-hitter.
Yeah. And he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and he's making solid contact. And, you know, you can't expect everything from him because he would have never have bounced around from team to team if he could both hit the baseball like this and field it. He's not a particularly good fielder. I get a little concerned when they play him in the bigger center fields like in Detroit. But look, again, if he were the perfect player, he wouldn't be bouncing around from team to team. So he's not the perfect player, but all you need him to do is produce with the bat. catch the balls that he can catch and then hit the ball, and that's what he's done. Same thing with Billy Hamilton. I mean, Cleveland could have had him. He could have been in their outfield. But at the end of spring training, they decided to let him go. Well, Rick Hahn and all his evaluators said, you know what, this is a wonderful gamble for us. It doesn't cost us too much money. So we'll bring him in just in case. Well, that just in case was very early in the season, and Billy Hamilton has paid consistent dividends. And then he runs into a guy in Tim Anderson who says, you know, you don't have to be what you were. You can be something that you've never been. You can be Billy the hitter. There's no reason you can't hit. You got tremendous hand-eye coordination. You're a wonderful fielder. So don't be content with being the guy who runs down everything in the field and the guy who can steal a base late. Why don't you think about hitting the baseball and really contribute to this team, really help resurrect your career? And the light turned on. Whatever it was that Tim said that struck a chord with Billy worked really well with him. So, you know, maybe every place Billy was before, maybe he doesn't have anything close to a Tim Anderson to show that kind of faith in him. And he gets here, the light turns on. So that's a wonderful thing. You look at guys that you call up. I mean, Yermín Mercedes wasn't supposed to make this team.
Right.
But Eloy gets hurt. Now Yermín comes up. They don't know him all that well in the major leagues. And for 6 weeks, he carries this team. Then they figure him out, and things didn't go particularly well, and you saw why he spent 10 years in the minor leagues. But the point was, without those 6 weeks early, the Sox team is not where they are right now. So he's one of the guys that deserves a whole lot of credit. I mean, he brought joy to the team. The fans loved him. He did a great job. And then, of course, we know, you know, the league adjusted to him, and that was that.
But it seems like almost every button they pushed, don't he? Andrew Vaughn, Leury Garcia. You know, like, there have been 6-7 day stretches where Leury Garcia has been one of the more important players on the team.
Well, take a look at what he's done from both sides of the plate. And he's hitting the ball hard, and he's hitting it out of the park, and he's driving in runs. You know, he and Yoan Moncada are second on the team in runs driven in. So, we go back to, what if I ask you at the beginning of the season that here we are at the All-Star break and Leury Garcia is tied for second on the Chicago White Sox in runs batted in, and you would say, hey, they're a wonderful fifth-place team, maybe sixth-place team, because Leury can't possibly be second on a team in runs batted in. Well, he is, and they're 8 games in first place. That's a remarkable story also. But Leury is the longest-tenured White Sox player. He's been around. He's always been the swing man who suddenly, for a short period of time at least, has grown into more than a swing man, a guy who can produce you some runs wherever Tony puts him in the order. And again, maybe if Tony doesn't use him as much as he did, maybe Leury isn't the guy we're looking at now. So somewhere along the line, you got to look at the management style of Tony and say, he gave everybody in this clubhouse, on this roster, he gave them opportunities to play and play a little bit more than they normally would have played and play after days where they just had a terrible thing happen to them. You know, they might have struck out 4 times. They might have gotten bombed as a pitcher. They might have made critical errors as a defender. Tony ran them right back out there again. And when you do that, when you show confidence in a major league player, regardless of the fact that they're professionals, they're going to respond. And Tony playing his entire roster, and everybody said, well, you're playing all these guys. I mean, this is ridiculous. You got to play the guys who are going to get you there. You got to play them. And Tony said, no, because I'm going to need all of these guys. I got to make sure that every one of these guys is ready to go when I inevitably need them. And that's really what happened, because every time he plucks somebody and says, go in there. I mean, Danny Mendick has gotten some big hits for this team. And, you know, he wasn't supposed to play a whole lot, wasn't supposed to play at all, as a matter of fact, and he's come and been a contributor. I mean, everybody in that locker room knows that one day they're going to get in that lineup, and Tony believes and expects that they're going to produce like a guy who plays every day.
The stars kind of aligned last week where you guys are in Baltimore, the All-Star break's coming up, You're an All-Star for Baltimore. Here we are, you know, after the All-Star game, it's your birthday. So I enjoyed you and Jason talking about your All-Star experience. Even now, when you think back to it, what are the things that you take from it?
Well, number one, it was a wonderful honor. And for a lot of these guys who don't go, that are picked, and they're not grievously injured, I think personally, I can't understand how you come to that calculus, how you say, I'm not going to go because I need the time off. I do whatever. You're representing not only the team you play for, but you're representing baseball internationally. This is one of the showcases. Obviously, the World Series is something that's another showcase, but only two teams get to the World Series, and every team is represented at the All-Star game. And so I felt phenomenally lucky that, number one, I was selected. Number two, I got selected to start the game by Earl Weaver, and they were allowing us to pitch three innings at that point, which is something that will never happen again, as we know. But it was really a thrill. And then I've said it before, I got a chance to bring my parents to the game, and for them, this was one of the high points of them watching me as a professional, because this was a pinnacle. You know, you are named one of the stars among a lot of stars. You know, people don't understand when they criticize these guys, when they criticize whether it's Danny Mendick or anybody else, where they criticize whatever they do. This guy stinks. This guy can't do it. This guy's ridiculous. This guy sucks. This, you know, and every number of things. What they don't realize is the average major league player, Lawrence, never sees a day in the major leagues. Not a day, not an hour, not an at-bat, not a cup of coffee, nothing. The average professional player never gets above A-ball. They just don't do that. So by the time all of the elimination of all of this talent, international talent, the best of the best in the world, by the time they're eliminated, and by the time you get to play in the major leagues, you are literally the top 1,000th of 1% in your ability factor in the world. And all of these people who want to criticize these guys on a daily basis will never achieve anything close to what these guys have achieved by spending one day in the major leagues. And so you have to give them a certain amount of respect for achieving something that's almost incomprehensible. They have shown in this world of I don't know how many hundreds of billions of people, they have shown to be the best of the best. And if they weren't, someone else would be there. And so do they perform every day? They can't, because they are also playing against the best of the best. This becomes a vindication for all of the hard work that every one of these players put in getting to this point through Little League and Pony League and Colt League and all the other places you play. Now it's travel leagues and everything that you do, all the sacrifices your parents made for you and all the people that know you and loved you, helped you along the way, and coaches you've had that toiled in obscurity will never be known by anybody else but you. It's a vindication when you get to represent your team and your league in the All-Star game. And I told Jason, I didn't get to elaborate on it because it was getting late in the ballgame, but I said, I knew that I was not a great pitcher. I was borrowing greatness for a short period of time, and soon it would go back to where it belonged, to the stars of the real stars of the game, the real greats of the game. I was never one of those. But for a short period of time, for about an 18-month period, culminating with the Cy Young Award at the end of the 1980 season, I was borrowing greatness. And eventually, fate would come and bring it back to somebody else, again, where it belonged. Guys like Maddux and Smoltz and Glavine, Hall of Famers, guys that I played with like Fergie, guys I played against like Bob Gibson and Billy Williams and all of those guys who were truly great, I just got a taste of it. And it was really sweet because I saw the bottom of the barrel too, because I was the 10th pitcher on a 10-man staff, and because sometimes I was the 11th pitcher on a 10-man staff. But I saw that, and I saw the top. Briefly, I get a chance to see and play with and be one of the best of the best for a short period of time. I enjoyed every minute of it, never took anything for granted, and knew that it was going back to where it belonged, which it did. And literally less than 2 years after that All-Star game, my career was over.
Stoney, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for the story. Happy birthday. It even says it on your baseball reference page today. It says happy birthday. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate it. And hopefully it's just a spectacular second half, and the Sox make the moves that they want to make. I don't know if necessarily they need to make, but make some move they want to make to get them to go deep in October, because I think this is an exciting year. I've been saying it. You remember, Lawrence, we talked spring training. We talked a long time ago. I said this is going to be a wonderfully exciting year. And to this point, it's been every bit of that.
You are correct, sir. Have a wonderful rest of your day and time off, Stoney. I'll see you at the ballpark in a couple weeks.
Have a great show, Lawrence. Take care.
That is Steve Stone, He's the best. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
We're going to talk about all the small things about the Cubs with Cole Wright coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll discuss Chris Bryant being in the All-Star game last night, him talking about wearing Cubs on his chest. Say it with your chest. The White Sox start the second half of their series on Friday. I got something special season on Friday. Something special for you, I think, on Friday, if you're a White Sox fan. We're going to have some fun. It fits perfectly with what this show is all about. Watching the All-Star game last night, and I was at a great event for Lost Boys Inc. You can check them out at lostboysinc.org. It's really great what they've done together. The Summer 54 beer that was being sold over at Haymarket. Thanks to Haymarket for hosting the event. Shakia Taylor, who's a friend who you've heard on The Score and on House of L, and her incredible writing about baseball. They hosted it. It was great. People were out in attendance. If you want to see some pictures, I threw it up on my Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes, where you can find me on Twitter as well. Some in the Twitter, too. I think White Sox fans will like the drip that I was rocking yesterday. And it turns out I ended up getting some more. So I don't know if I need to wear it for the Twitch people that watch the show. By the way, you can watch the show on twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. But if you go to my Instagram, you'll see I went there. I was the swag captain last night. That's not usually the steelo, but I was the swag captain last night. And I got some more stuff that I'm going to bring out before the baseball season is over. You know, because sometimes, like, your best stuff, you want to wait. Like, you don't want to just wear it all willy-nilly. And Shay had given me that jacket, so I wanted to wear it to her event. Anyway, watching the All-Star game, I was just sitting there going, this is cool. I can't believe it, but I agree with Dan. I did not like the uniforms. I just don't think that they were – I mean, I get what they were trying to do, and clearly you're trying to move some merchandise, and then there's no – I have no problem with that. I do think, though, it should be reversed. Like, give me Home Run Derby and everyone else hanging out in All-Star gear. And then when we get to the game, give me the players in their uniform. Because I think that that's a fun thing to see all the different jerseys around. And I think that it's – I don't want to sound too traditional because, I mean, I've heard other people talk about it today and last night. And I know that that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that us old codgers, I'm 46, we can't let go of stuff, and then we don't allow baseball to grow because we're complaining about stuff like, why aren't they wearing their uniforms? I'm here for everything else that went on in the game. I enjoy Vlad and Fernando Tatis during his home run, him kind of doing the Tatis around the bases. Like, that was funny to me. I mean, I got choked up seeing the video of Freddie Freeman's kid running up to Tatis, who's his favorite player, apparently, and hugging him. I was like, yeah, man, that's what baseball's good for right there. I didn't even mind them being mic'd up. I'm just like, you know, there are some traditions that I think should stay in place. Like, everyone gets a chance to wear their own uniform and rep yo city, as Petey Pablo would say. And they didn't get a chance to do that. We are going to talk Cubs and maybe a little bit of Bears. Should we not talk either with Cole? Should we ask him about Andy Dalton? Herbie, the Andy Dalton is good. Like, we were supposed to be doing that this week, right? What's the latest? What's the latest on that?
Got an open for it. Ready?
Okay, go ahead.
All-Star break means we can ask the question again, but this time with a different QB. The Lawrence Holmes Show asks, is Andy Dalton good? No. That's another rousing edition of Is Andy Dalton Good? On The Score.
We'll ask Cole Wright about that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!